So we'll go ahead and get started. We're going to start with feedback from the breakout sessions that we just held. I know of one person from my group that's presenting, so may as well start there, Michael.
Thank you, John. So I think that it's fair to say that we didn't have any particular disagreements within our group. It was fairly clear. We were just clarifying on each of these issues. On the first of the issues, continuity, discontinuity of operations and specific disclosures, there were a number of points debated on the implications, especially on using the default members for filers, for also a little bit on the users of the data, and whether it would be confusing not to follow the recommendation of the team or for the stakeholders of the IFRS taxonomy. We debated a little bit that the general assumption in IFRS is to disclose continued or information for continued activities. Therefore, it was fairly easy for us to reach an agreement between the group members to agree with the staff's proposed decision. On the second question that we had to deal with on the OCI, also related partially to the continuity discontinuity, we debated a little bit in more detail the problem. There was a clarification of the impact and the goals of the staff proposal, as it did not really seem very clear on the first place. There was a bit of debate as we saw the staff proposal going a little bit counterintuitive to the agreement to the debate that we had. We would like to propose that this staff proposal should be revisited as our group disagrees with the recommended approach. We also believe that, especially in the context of the OCI disclosures, it might be relevant to include specific guidance in the preparatory guide that the staff is planning. And finally, on the yield curve, there was a very interesting debate, also illustrated by several examples, as it concerned disclosure of graphical information in parallel or maybe in place of the structured data. And we had to use a couple of examples, and I think Mike brought the best one with the age and curve, weight and curve examples. But we all agreed that flexibility of this reporting is necessary for the filers, and we believe that the staff proposal in this case was not only valid, but actually is deemed to be a good approach in the context of these future requirements of current important projects. Therefore, we voted yes, agreed for the first question, agreed for the first, for the second one, and agreed, said actually we don't have any comments on the last one. There were several comments made on the site that perhaps filers will have a few more challenges, for instance, hiding the tables if they just want to disclose the graphical data, and also that in general the filers should supply the data together with graphs such as curves in order to allow the users to better analyze this data and perhaps view the graphs in different contexts or from different perspectives or using different scale options. But I think they did not really materially change our conclusion. So that would hopefully illustrate what we debated, unless any of my fellow breakout session members would have anything to add.
You did say you disagreed with the OCI approach.
We disagreed with the OCI approach.
So we believe that the use of the axis, as it's stated, that the staff does not recommend to use the axis. And we believe that still the use of the axis is more positive to disclose specific information to add specific meaning to the reported elements. And we in general had a view that we exchanged a little bit that this requirement came from the calculation link-based restrictions on cross-calculating, for instance, across the dimensional, the contextual items. That is, as it was explained by Richard, therefore, we didn't view it as particularly future-oriented, I would say. Perhaps if we misunderstood, happy to listen to any more comment on that. However, it was our view that it's better to allow users to specify it, especially in the context that the continuing assumption is a default assumption all across IFRSs.
Thank you.
So I have a question as well. So you think it's better even if the company does not state explicitly in their financial report that the other components of comprehensive income relate either to a total and aggregate basis or continue or discontinue? You still think in that particular case it's better to use the access? Because what we, when Richard did analysis, there were only very, very few companies mm-hmm. that explicitly reported an amount relating to discontinued operations. From the other reporting patterns, you really can't derive if the amount was stated on an aggregate basis, on a continued basis. You couldn't, and likely it's more on an aggregate basis.
I knew it was wrong to take notes of that.
I can
partially respond to that. I think also we were debating a little bit earlier a bigger context of that, whether we do specify such information additionally on the elements as a dimensional characteristic. And we found out that perhaps we didn't pay enough attention to the level of or how often does it appear, such a situation, all across the financial statements. However, we understood that it would be better for the analysts and for the filers to mark explicitly that this is discontinued in the OCI context. So that's basically what we understood, and hence the basis for or the assumption for our decision or recommendation.
Okay, so rather than create an extension, really use them the access.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That clarifies to me. Thank you, Michael.
Thanks. So, Marshall. Your card up because you have a comment or you want to present it for team A?
No, it's from anyone we're talking about.
Who's presenting for team A?
Okay, we were in a group A, and so we were really referring, dealing with, the questions one, and in my group, I think we didn't discuss question two and three, but I think the principle will apply to the same. So profit and loss account, we saying that change the default to continuing and discontinued access to continuing member. One member actually made an excellent point that really, if you look at it in P&L, more or less every line item has both components, sometimes continued and discontinued. And so my group actually agree the proposals made by the staff. And really dealing with this slide 7 to 17.
Just one second, sure. So the folks that are on the webcast, can you mute? Okay, thank you. Go ahead, sir. Thanks.
So, the excellent, the slide, which is really 11, which really shows quite graphically, for example, revenue from discontinued operations, expense from the discontinued operations in aggregate. Same would apply to the, the continued operations. We also felt that, the deprecations of that particular, the IFRS taxonomy line item changed to analysis of single amount to discontinued operation to new table using discontinued operations as a member. And the third, the point was addition to IFRS taxonomy implementation note and change the documentation, which excellently actually provided in slide number 16. We also felt that we also provide, you know, the more guidance at this stage. More is, you know, the better, so people can, you know, the understand. Eventually, probably, kind of the rationalizations. And the final, you know, the questions, which is D, our group felt that we should not deprecate existing equivalent line item. If some regulator do not allow dimension, use of dimension, then, you know, the filers can use existing, you know, the line item. So we agree all the proposals made by the staff. And same thing will apply, the principle to the cash flow and, you know, the comprehensive income. Is anything, am I missing from my group?
Any question four or?
No, I'm just asking that, am I missing anything?
No, on discontinued operations it's okay, but we also question four.
Oh, did you cover another question?
I don't think so, we talked about that one,
yeah,
right?
Yes.
Oh, probably I didn't pay any attention. So.
So in terms of question four, I think, and again, correct me if I was wrong, we were in general told that the level of supporting materials that we provide is very good, that these are you know, good materials. And in terms of soliciting more comments, the members of the group thought that they will come with the use of the IFRS taxonomy. So as soon as the, you know, SEC, there are filings, as soon as ESMA goes on and publishes its detailed technical requirements, should I say, then the preparers and the users will get interested and they will comment on these. So, you know, there is really no need for us at the moment to do much more than we are doing. Having said that, next year, when the first SEC findings come in, the members of the group thought that it's a good time to actually engage with those foreign private issuers, reach out to them, you know, whichever way we reach out to people, do a table or some discussion, because those people will have applied the IFRS taxonomy for their first filings, and then they will, you know, be able to share their experience and influence maybe the taxonomy for the future. So that's the first group of people that we should target as outreach. But probably next year, because now it's too early. No, I think we agreed that now the people will be busy with tagging actually and then preparing it. It's difficult to expect that in the first months of the year they will spend time with us. But after they have finalized their filings, that would be a good time to reach out to those people. So that was it, and I think we also mentioned, but that will be discussed later on, that the continuous comments on the taxonomy is a good idea to enable people to actually comment at any time, rather than only when the standard goes out, because it might be too early for that. I think these are my notes. Of course. You just need to put your mic on.
Our discussions. Someone mentioned about the many dimension might be difficult for the preparers. And I at that time, I add a little comment about the, even though the taxonomy seems perfect, sometimes if the company have so many mistakes or difficult to understand the structure, it might be the misleading result on a user side. So sometimes the user requests to regulator to make more easy structure of the taxonomy, so that we continue to consider about this issue too.
Any more feedback?
Sorry, thanks.
Any more feedback? Mm-hmm. Group A? No, nothing. So we're off to Group B. Is that you, Kylie?
Groupy, see if we can get Michael up. So we started with question two, looking at the statement of cash flows. It was a very informed discussion. And as we looked at the proposals from the staff in terms of responding, we accepted the architecture of the taxonomies as is, including, for example, the need to be able to validate primary financial statements against the calculation link base. With that in mind, we thought that the proposals were in line with an addition. So we recognised that in some cases that preparers would actually create a breakout for discontinued operations. And in such cases, there was a need to be able to report that as data as well, and that the information would be very pertinent to investors. So we suggested that there'd be an additional guidance for those rare cases where the breakout was reported. You would be allowed to use the axis, but in other cases, you would just use the line items that were available. This led within the group to a wider discussion about the use of dimensions and potential and the calculation link base. It was accepted that this guidance note and similar, which already exist in the, with reference to the IFRS taxonomy, were important for preparers, but also that they would be essential to consumers of the data. And without actually knowing and reading that guidance note, you wouldn't necessarily have correct interpretation of the data when consuming it as well. And it was suggested that potentially those guidance notes could be pulled together by, for example, face statement or note, so that they were in a consumable fashion for data users. Also suggested that similar mechanism with relation to the presentation link base could be used to refer the same guidance notes electronically through the definitions in the taxonomy. In terms of the additional point, which is changing the default member to continuing operations, again, that was supported. It was suggested that in the preparer's guidance, which we're talking about today for the first time, it's worth mentioning that in the most mapping tools, it's not common to include within the mapping as part of your roll forward the default member on a dimension, and that if you roll forward, therefore, with the lack of mapping to something that is default, your default item would then become continuing. So there is potential for data error when using a solution that caused roll forward. So we thought it would be a good idea to put some information in the preparer's guidance that set out some expectations of the way in which software works and the changes that are in the IFRS taxonomy from one version to the next and how to manage those. So that was broadly our discussions on question two. If I go on to question five, the use of text blocks. There are a number of different views around the granularity of the text blocks and the string items and how they should exist in the taxonomy. There are mixed views around whether they should be very, very granular or whether they should have one overarching text box for different sections of the financial statements. It was recognised that with current technology that exists today, as a data user, often the granular level of text tagging wasn't necessarily that useful. You'd have to join it all back together again to a single data field before you perform some analysis. But that software vendors that were preparing solutions, many of them templated, may see it advantageous to be able to break down their solutions with the individual textual items that were presented in the taxonomy and indeed the standards. We talked about a related example in looking at accounting policies. Would you have a single text block for all accounting policies or would you break it out? And that was suggested as a good example where you would want at least some breakout for different types of accounting policies. And all we could only conclude that there was a balancing act between the two approaches. With regards to the text box approach for IFRS 17, we all agreed it was much safer to stick with a text box approach for now, but that we'd need to revisit it when we came to have a look at common practice, potentially as part of the implementation review. One of the reasons for revisiting at that stage is recognising that so far the text blocks that we've added to the taxonomy have very, very rarely been depreciated. Even if more granular common practice items have been added. But with regards to the tagging rules of almost every mandate around the world, if you've disclosed it and there's a specific tag in the taxonomy, you're required to tag it. So by having the different breakdowns of text block items, you're potentially increasing the burden of tagging, for which there may be or may not be an advantage to daily users. So at the time when we create common practice, we should look at potentially whether it's appropriate to either add more granularity or to depreciate some of the text blocks which existed. Let me just check that I've got all of the fine points. I think that pretty much sums it, unless there's anyone else from the group would like to add.
That's the feedback.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much for the feedback. So I think I read here that we have generally agreement for our proposal for continuing and discontinued operations. We may have to make some tweaks to the implementation guidance notes. Our next step there probably is to publish a proposed taxonomy update on that, and so that it is subject to public consultation and to be implemented in time then for the annual taxonomy 2018. 18, sorry. Okay, thank you very much.
We're going to move to Jeff. Next topic. Okay.